Hi, good afternoon. We'll make a start in about a minute or so. Good afternoon, everyone. Just to say welcome to the Mortgage Talks. You will have realized that if you receive our email notices and just looking at your sheets today, that today is slightly different from our normal lunchtime talks. It is our annual vision day and annual vision lunch. Just setting out once again as we start this new year why these talks exist and how we can partner together in the gospel through these talks. So in a little while, Philip will be telling us, speaking from 1 Peter, and just giving a short talk again on the aims of the talk, the vision for the year. So he'll be doing that. And after that, there'll be a couple of interviews with our regulars, and then a finance update at the end of it. So this looks slightly different from our normal talk. Stuart Cashman, who's been preaching on Hebrews, will be back next week concluding his series. So next week, if you're bringing friends along, next week we'll look back to normal again. Just to say as well, there are a few notices up here. Again, Christianity Explored, there are two courses running in the Moorgate area at the moment. One at Simmons has already started, but of course feel free to join. It's not too late. I think they've just finished week two. And contact Mark Doring if you're interested in that. The other thing to say as well is that there's a second course that's starting at Bank of England on 4th of February, which runs on a Thursday. So if Thursday is a better time for you or your friends to do that course, again, you can email Bank of England, David Bryant at Bank of England. The other two notices there, you can look at details on the sheet. One is just to say there's a Chinese New Year event, mainly for Mandarin speakers. So there'll be a talk presenting the gospel in Mandarin. If you have friends working in the city who feel more comfortable with speaking in Mandarin or understanding Mandarin, that would be a helpful one to bring them. You can contact the email there to contact is a person called Joel, and you can contact him for more details. It's Friday, 29th January. And the last thing to say is that instead of having our own Moorgate Talks weekend away, we've decided that we will attend an annual city weekend away, which is organised by St. Helens over at Bishopsgate. And this is open to lots of different lunchtime ministries happening across the city, so it's a great way not just to meet Moorgate people, but also others who are attending or involved in lunchtime ministries in other parts of the city. Again, there's a flyer as you walk out, and more details again on number 3. Before we begin, Paul will come up and read from 1 Peter for us. Let me pray first quickly. And then I'll hand over to Paul. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is powerful to save. And I pray that as we listen today to it, we will again understand and be able to be envisioned for the year as to the existence, as to the aims and vision for these talks, and how it is that the proclamation of your gospel can bring life to this city. Pray for us to be attentive and to listen hard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So the reading from the Bible today is 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 to chapter 2 verse 3. It's there on the inside of our sheets. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, for reading. And can I add my welcome and say to you, Happy New Year, if this is your first time back in this January. It's great to have you here with us. Well, today, as Alfie said, is a little bit different. It's our vision lunch, and we do this once a year. If you like, set out what our vision is here and why we exist, and to say something about what we have planned ahead. Now, I know that you're all very busy people. Life is pretty busy, isn't it? Maybe you've come out of Christmas hibernation and things are getting pretty busy. Things are hotting up at work. We seem, don't we, to be busier than ever. The economist John Maynard Keynes said in 1920 that our grandchildren would work about 3 hours a day and probably only by choice. Well, it's not really like that, is it? We have this movement, if you like, from a pre-industrial age to an industrial age to a post-industrial age where we're at now. And lots has changed. So in the past, in the pre-industrial age, the workplace was the home. Now in the industrial age, then after that, it was separate from the home. And now in the post-industrial age, the boundaries are blurred between work and home. It used to be in the pre-industrial age that work and home were in the same place. You didn't have to go anywhere, didn't have to travel anywhere. Then in the industrial age, you could largely walk to work. And then in the post-industrial age, long commutes for some of you to work. In the pre-industrial age, the pace of life was pretty slow. Then in the industrial age, the pace was still slow, but only outside of work. And now in the post-industrial age, the pace of life is fast in work and outside of work. It used to be in the pre-industrial age that you divided up time into days. Then in the industrial age, you thought in terms of hours. And now, in the post-industrial age, you think in terms of minutes. Some of you, I know, operate timesheets with time trackers that are all, everything is carved up into just 6 minute intervals. And we're always in a hurry, aren't we? People tut, don't they, on the tube if they hear that announcement that we're going to stay here to regulate the service, whatever that means. Cyclists are rushing around trying to beat the traffic, pretending as if it's the Tour de France, cutting through the traffic in order to get to work faster than anyone else. We try to be efficient, don't we, and productive. So we gulp down lunch in efficient ergonomic chairs, using efficient forms of communication. Emails fill our inboxes and our BlackBerries chirp. But work is never done, it seems. We only have so much mental bandwidth to take things in. So we use task lists and project management tools, and we try to stay on top of things and get things done and go for that thing that we all long for, inbox zero. And then we add in home life. We do the washing, we do the Tesco order. We pick up the kids, we take them to ballet or karate or whatever it might be. We pick up the dry cleaning, we get the car fixed, we get the boiler fixed. If some of you have had that problem, sorry about that. We catch up with friends. We go to the gym. I went to the gym and it seems to be absolutely rammed in January as everyone's trying to sort of deal with the after effects of December, the Christmas period. We're busy, very busy. And when life is so busy, as it is for, I guess, all of us, what do we most need? What do we most need this year? What do our colleagues need as well? What do they most need? I mean, they're pretty crazy busy as well. What about them? Do we need better time management? Maybe some New Year's resolutions to cut some things out of our lives. What do we need? Well, maybe we need some of those things. But our passage has a different and, I think, surprising answer. And it is this. We need words. We need words. But what words? Well, not a pep talk, not the latest best-selling book on how to manage your time, edition, third edition, fourth edition, whatever it's in. No, we need words from God. Because these words, they don't just help me manage my life, they give life. Spiritual life, true life. And they give that life, and they build us up in that life, all the way through our spiritual lives, if we're Jesus followers. First of all then, beginning life. Take a look at verse 22 of our passage, chapter 1. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. We're in the maternity ward, and now we're being told this is how spiritual babies are made. This is how you were born. This is how you were born again. And what did it? Well, words did it. God's words, described here as imperishable and living and abiding. Dead words, they don't give life, do they? Perishable words, they wither and die, like your Christmas tree. I don't know how long your Christmas tree lasted. The needles start to fall off, don't they? And then they're left outside for the bin men. Or those red leaf plants, poinsettias, that you get at Christmas time. In my house, they don't last much longer than a week before the leaves start dropping off. It's not like that. It's not like the flower that falls, we're told here, the grass that withers. These are imperishable words, living words. These words make babies, if you like, spiritual babies, living people. That's how it all started. That's how the Christian life starts, if we're followers of Jesus. We heard the Bible read, we heard it explained, or we read it for ourselves, and it all started from there. And we became alive, truly alive. And so I'm sure you know this, but the Bible, it's a living book. It's not a dead book. It's not a dusty book. It's alive. It gives life. And I need to keep reminding myself of that, I find, at the start of a new year. And therefore, it is what our busy colleagues need as well. They most need this. They most need Jesus' words. They are dead without them. Now, there are lots of other words that fill our inboxes, that fill our time, that fill the airwaves, but they don't give life, do they? I'm keen to read some books. I think I've decided that maybe I watch too much on Netflix, and it's time to read some books this year. But you won't find those living words most of the time on the shelf at Waterstones or on Amazon. You won't find it there. You won't find it in the metro. In fact, there's probably not much in the metro, even though I read it. You won't probably find it most of the time on the BBC website or on Facebook. It's not on the agenda normally at work. It's not on the agenda most of the time in Parliament or at the UN. Not normally, anyway. Only God's words, you see, in the Bible, give life. And these words, not only are they words that give life, but they are words that actually are therefore good news. Verse 25 says that this is the good news that was preached to you, that you heard. These words that you heard, they are life-changing words, destiny-changing words, the best news that you can hear after Blue Monday. And so that is why we run these talks, so that colleagues can hear about Jesus, hear his words. That's why we're behind it when firms run Christianity Explore courses. And as Alfie mentioned, it's not too late for people to join the one that's running at the moment. That's why we try to make these talks accessible for people who wouldn't call themselves Christians, who've got lots of questions. And that's why we're so encouraged when many of you try to live and speak for Jesus in your offices. This year, we've got plans in March to have a series which we think hopefully should particularly help people with questions, although we would say that every week is designed for people with questions. But we're trying to answer three of the most common questions in March that people ask, that people are asking today. So do note that in your diary.
So that's the first point. The beginnings of life, beginning life. But secondly, growing up. Take a look at chapter 2. And look at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now that word spiritual in Greek is logikon, and that means kind of wordy. It's hard to kind of translate that and say in a normal English way without it sounding a bit weird. But you can see from what it says results from it, or what is its effect is supposed to be, that that's what it's talking about. It is so that people grow up into salvation. And so these words that give life, they also grow life. That's how we grow up, if you like. And so we've moved here from the delivery room, out of the maternity ward, and now we're in the nursery. Now, I don't know if you've got much experience of babies. Maybe you try to stay well clear of babies. But maybe you've got a lot of experience of babies, a personal experience. And my experience is that quite a lot of the time when they cry, it's because they want some food. That is the agenda. They crave it, though. They long for it. And if you were to ever take the bottle away from them, the tears will soon flow from that. You see, though, that's because we are, spiritually speaking, supposed to be like that. Because the way in the Christian life is the way on in the Christian life. We carry on the way we start. We need these words. We need them more than ever. In all the busyness, we need to feed. Perhaps even when we're so busy, we need it more than ever. Now, at lunchtime, you may dine al desco rather than al fresco, particularly at this time of year. It may be that you dine out in the evenings, or maybe it's that you're more sort of microwave meal kind of person. I don't know what your eating habits are. But the food that we really need is the food that God dishes up. And what we need is the only truly spiritual square meal, if you like, the spiritual five a day. And this is God's words. Because these words, they are living and they are abiding. And they point us to our heavenly hope. They point us to what Peter calls the imperishable inheritance through Jesus' imperishable blood at the cross. They point us to the gospel, the good news. And they motivate us to live. Do you notice that? It's very striking as you read it that there is a close connection between these words and how we're to live. It says, since you've been born again, you're supposed to live like this. It says, put away all malice and etc., etc. And it seems to make the connection with these words. These words motivate us to live and speak for Jesus. And so that, again, is why we run these talks. That's why we want to hear Jesus' words. That's why we're behind Christian groups meeting in firms, or when one or two of you meet together to pray together. And that's why we want the Bible to be at the heart of everything that we do. That's why we want feedback to make things better. That's why we need this food if we're believers. That's also why we run our partnership groups, our small group Bible studies here at Moorgate. Now, I know lots of you are in small groups in your home churches. We're not trying to compete. We're trying to complement that. And we know that everyone's busy. And we know that that means that it's unrealistic for many people to make a weekly Bible study, although we do have some of those. And so what we're trying to do this year is to arrange groups that meet less frequently so that it's more manageable and we hope useful for people. So we want to meet in some groups. They might meet once per month, or maybe twice a month, but only in term time, or maybe in some cases even only three times a term. What will work? What will be manageable with people's diaries? And we want to be a bit more focused. We want to focus on praying for one another in our workplaces. And we want to be together in the ups and downs of life in the workplace. And as we seek to live and speak for Jesus. If that interests you, please speak to me or Alfie or Claire. And we'd love to tell you more about that. But most of all, we'd love to encourage you to keep doing what you already do, which is to come along to these talks. And we're really encouraged when you sit down and you talk to one another afterwards and you try to wrestle these things through and work these things out together. That's really encouraging when that happens. And ask questions. But we thought it'd be good to hear from two people to hear about their experience of this in practice. So I'm now going to hand over to Alfie, and he's going to interview a couple of people. Thank you very much for coming, can I say that? And thank you very much for your support.
Thanks, Philip. I'm just going to ask a couple of our regulars about the experience of the lunchtime talks and how it's helped them stand firm as a Christian in the workplace in this area. So Paul and Jen, if you don't mind coming up. I'll stand for this one slide. So first of all, I'm just going to ask you all to introduce yourself. So Paul, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
I work for the Bank of England just up the road in banking policy, and I'm married to Jenny, who's a GP, and we have two children, and we go on Sundays to All Souls Church in Langham Place in Oxford Circus.
Thank you. Jen?
My name is Jen. I'm an American over here. My husband's English. We've been together about 13 years or so. I work for a local law firm, Simpson Thatcher, as a legal PA, and I've been coming to the talks for just under 2 years.
Fantastic. So, Jen, how have being involved in this talks or being in this talks, how has that benefited you as a Christian, as you seek to live as a Christian in the workplace?
I have really found the talks helpful with challenges. Not just professional, but as well as personal challenges as well. And challenges we all probably endure as the same with colleagues, bosses, all throughout, even people on the telephone. But I found especially with 1 Peter and studying that recently, that it gave me encouragement, and through that also the courage to deal with these issues that come up professionally. And to look to God and to Jesus for guidance. And through the talks, I've learned more that Christ is a friend to all of us, not just me, but to all of us. And I could put my faith and trust in Him and just go to Him. And through Him, I've learned so much more that there actually is so much more better for us, more than what's here on earth for us now.
Thank you. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, I think the same. We saw last week how, from Hebrews, that Jesus is, that everything's about Jesus, that everything's for Him, that everything's made by Him, and yet I forget that within a second. And so it's just great to have that grounding week by week here, so that when I sort of get bogged down in this tricky banking issue or what's happening and with colleagues or whatever it is, that I can just remember, lift my eyes up, my gaze, Jesus is in charge. It is all for Him, it is all about Him, and it's great to have that focus right in the middle of the week to remember.
Thank you. And just to both of you again, how have these talks helped you specifically in the area of sharing Jesus with your colleagues who might not know Him at all, or who might be kind of thinking, why are you Christian?
Yeah, very much a great opportunity, and I think almost that's the biggest thing that the Moorgate talks are here for, that I can invite my colleagues, and there's been a number of times when I've sort of, maybe it's been because I'm explaining why I can't make that meeting that they're trying to put in, or why I have to leave early from something, or just chatting to colleagues, and I come along to these Bible talks and come along, and some colleagues have done that, some haven't yet, but there's still time, and I think it's closer to the office than my home church, and it's a week lunch. It's just a great time to come and introduce colleagues to Jesus, and a great opportunity for that.
How about you, Jen? Have you had opportunity to do that as well?
I have, yes. And pretty much the same from what Paul said. I also find that you just need a pocket of time, really. It's like any relationship. The more time you spend, the more it develops and the more it can grow. And with me going and introducing it to colleagues, I can share God's word with them so that, to help them with their challenges, and also to understand that the challenges that we're going through today in modern day are really no different throughout history and previous and the years, thousands of years prior to, and it's all relevant. His word does not expire, and you know, it's, we can all take from it really and apply it still to this day.
Thank you, both of you. I hope that gives you a kind of good concrete examples of people who've benefited from these talks, who have brought people along to listen to the gospel, who themselves have been encouraged by the gospel. I'll hand it over to Brian now, who'll give us a bit of an update on the finances.
Thanks, Alfie. Good afternoon, everybody. We don't do this very often, and I think we've mainly got regulars today, but if you're not a regular, we're not after your money. But we're talking about the ministry of the word, and it does cost us. So I'm just going to give you a quick review of where we got to last year and what this year is going to look like for us at the moment. First thing is to thank everybody who contributed, to say thank you. We've got a very generous God, and he has given generously through some very generous people here. Thank you for some very generous one-off donations, without which we would have been in a bit of bother. And thank you for your monthly or weekly or other regular donations. Thank you to everybody, regardless of how big or small the donation is. Every pound makes a difference. So thank you for that. And as a result, last year, in the calendar year 2015, for the first time, we had our head above water, and we managed to pay our way with a little bit of money left over. And I'll say a little bit more of that in a minute. This is important because we rely totally on giving here in the Moorgate Talks. There are no contributions from any funds or churches or any other organisations from anywhere else. So everything we do is funded by what we give to the Moorgate Talks. So the giving from our congregation here is what enables us to do what we do. In the giving to the Moorgate Talks brochure inside the handout, there is a further insert which looks a bit like this, with a couple of pie charts on it. And this gives a kind of bird's eye view, if you like, of what 2015 looked like. For those of you who want the actual figures, they're on the reverse. But sometimes it's easier to talk to a pie chart. And there are two. The top one says income for 2015, and that says where the money came from. And as you'll see, it's all giving. The big one that looks as if it goes from 12 o'clock to about 4 o'clock is regular giving, and then there's one-off gifts, which are just as welcome, more difficult to predict, of course, and then there's gift aid, which is aid that's where people have ticked the box and said, this is eligible for gift aid, I'm a taxpayer, and we get some money back on that from the taxman, which is very welcome. And then the bit that's sort of around 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, lunch receipts. So that's the money that we get when people put money in the on the plate over there and they come along to lunch. So that's great. And that's where the money comes from. The expenses, second pie chart, and you can see from that that the biggest expense we have is staff costs, going from 12 o'clock to around 7 o'clock in the evening. That's to pay for Philip and Claire. We pay 50% of their costs. We share that with Aldersgate, who pay the other 50% of the time that they spend. There's a lot that goes on that's not seen. More work goes into producing the Moorgate Talks than you might think. And our thanks to Philip and Claire for doing that. Claire, unfortunately, is not here this week, but most of you will know her. And so sharing those costs with Aldersgate gives us that net cost. And then you'll see that the main remaining cost is the one that goes from sort of 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, as it were, which is accommodation, which is what we pay Amber for this venue. So that includes the cost of this room and the lunch we provide. And the colours are the same. I know they're not that easy to see in black and white, but you'll see that from the top one, the lunch receipts, that sort of portion of the pie is a lot less than the bottom one that says accommodation, including lunch. In other words, we don't get anything like enough from the donations people give us for lunch each a week to pay for this venue. So the extra has to come from giving as well. Please do speak to me afterwards if anything's not clear here. So top, where the money comes from, bottom, where the money goes to, and the last bit at the bottom, you'll see sort of 11 o'clock to midnight, as it were, there's a surplus. In other words, that money is money we finished up with at the end of the year, not having spent, which is great. However, there's always a but, isn't there? And the issue is that although last year was very good for us, this year it's going to be a little different. For a start, we only had Philip for half of last year, and so this year our staff costs are going to be higher than they are here, quite a lot higher, about £15,000 more than they were this year. And secondly, our income this year, we've got lots of very generous regular givers, but we got some quite seriously generous one-off gifts last year. We can't just assume we're going to get those again. So as things stand at the moment, we probably aren't looking at getting as much from giving as we were, as we did last year, unless something changes. So the prospect there is that the way it looks at the moment, we're likely to get £10,000 or £12,000 less in giving, but we're going to be paying out £15,000 more in costs. So that means that we're looking at a deficit this year of about £25,000. That's not formal, that's kind of bird's eye view, because we've only just got the year-end figures. But that, what that means effectively is that every month we're spending £2,000 plus more than we're getting from gifts. So obviously we're going to have to decide what we do about that, but whatever we do in the end, inevitably, it's going to be asking people who give if they could please review their giving and see whether they could give us some more. So the upshot of this is, please do consider. If you don't give already, it would be much appreciated if you could consider whether you are able to give us anything, either as a one-off donation or as a regular payment. It doesn't matter which. If you are already giving, sincere thanks. As already said, we couldn't have done it without you. Please review and see if you can squeeze out a little more for the Moorgate talks. Now, in saying this, I'm well aware that we've got other commitments. People have got home churches to support. As Philip said, we're not in competition with them. This is a different ministry. This is to support the preaching of the word and the spread of God, the gospel, in this part of London, primarily through weekday work. So you may have other commitments not to do with home church. You may be between jobs. There are 101 reasons why it might be difficult. So nobody is kind of going to judge anybody here. I don't even know who gives and who doesn't, looking around the room. But if you could please pray and consider whether you are able to give us or either give something to the Moorgate Talks or raise your donations, that would be great. And it doesn't matter how much it is. We've got to remember, we know the Bible, the widow's mites were more than all the rest of the money that was put into the temple. Every little helps. It doesn't matter how much it is. There is a giving form here, this thing. Please ask me if you've got any questions. I'd be delighted to try and answer them. And I think probably we're almost out of time. So I'm just going to wrap up with a prayer now. And afterwards, if you've got anything else you'd like to know about the finances, please ask me. If there's anything you'd like to talk about what Philip said or about the interviews, please do ask people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Moorgate Talks. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible, for the way that you choose people and appoint them and enable them to preach it to us. And we thank you that your words are life. They are the beginning of life, and they bring us to full life with you. And we thank you for the Moorgate Talks and for the people who've been so generous here. We ask that you would help us as stewards of what you give us, to be wise in deciding where we allocate the resources that we have from you. In Jesus' name, amen.